Today's scripture reading is Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 12, a time for everything. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. The words of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Carla, for our beautiful song and hymn. Very appropriate. There's a season for everything. Season for everything. The things we enjoy, things we don't enjoy, the things we like, the things we dislike. Leaving a church is never anything Kim and I have enjoyed doing. It's always been hard. It's always been painful. And that's true under any circumstances, and especially these circumstances. Arriving at a church is exciting. That's exciting. Everything's kind of new. Everything's full of potential. It's an anxious time as we learn about one another, and you all learn about the new pastor, and the new pastor learns about you all, and oftentimes our limitations. The limitations of both of those parties, the personalities, the hidden issues, the things that we're kind of watching for in one another as we get to know each other. Sarah Johnson has a phrase I like to use. She's not here today, but Sarah likes to say, "People are peoply," right? People are peoply. I would think you can also say pastors are pastory, right? Pastors are pastory, people are peoply. So arriving at a new church, it's always exciting because it's new, it's hopeful. Leaving a church is painful, it's hard, so why do it, right? Like, why do what's painful and hard? Ecclesiastes, it's a great book of the Bible to turn to answer this question, at least for me. The author is believed to be King David's son, Solomon. There's a brutal honesty with Ecclesiastes as Solomon battles with his unhappiness. Here's a guy who's been handed everything in life. He has everything. His father, King David, he establishes the greatest kingdom ever known to the Jewish people. The greatest kingdom ever. King Solomon was handed great wealth, great power, given everything, and yet, if you read through Ecclesiastes, the entire thing, Solomon kind of battles with this unhappiness, and he battles with some of the big questions around life that he has struggled with. And you can see Solomon taking some of these easy answers that has been given to him about life and wanting some different answers and some new answers. And so in the passage we read, after listing both of these kind of good and bad things that we just have to face in life, some of them that we love to face in life, some that we don't, he names the outcome of facing all these things in life. And here's the outcome. Here's what was read to us. What do workers gain from their toil? He has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, and yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. The last line is particularly kind of profound for me today. The last line is, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Be happy and do good. Do those two things. And what is great about life is that there are so many good things that can be done for so many different people in so many different ways. And as Methodists, of course, we spend quite a bit of time talking about the importance of doing good. Doing good is very important to us as a tribe of people, a group of people. We tend to attribute the following quote to John Wesley. You've heard it before. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And yet, there is some good that you can do in this world that will add to your own happiness immensely, and some good that you can do that may not, that may be more challenging for you. As a pastor, there are some good things, a lot of good things that I've done in the past that I get to do, and some of those things I've enjoyed immensely. I've enjoyed a great deal. And some good things that I do that I kind of dread, or that I'm always anxious about. And I've kind of talked about some of my anxiety stuff in the past. So some of that anxiety, and there are things that when it comes to time, there's some things I'd rather be doing more of and some things I'd rather be doing less of. And so for a long time, I've just kind of told myself, look, it's just part of the job. Deal with it. Have you ever said that to yourself? Have you ever kind of said, look, this is part of the job, just kind of deal with it? Because that's true a lot in life, I think, for all of us. And sometimes that's just the challenge of adulting. And some of you, like, you know, they're older, you've got kids and you've got grandkids, and you've watched them struggle with the adulting, doing the hard things. And so you do the tough things so that you can hopefully spend time doing the more enjoyable things in your life. You've got to kind of do both. And that's the point of our passage. There's really a season for all of it. There's a season for all of it. But as it turns out, there are many good things to be done in the world, and there is a good that you can do, that you are gifted to do, and that you feel a certain sense of special purpose when you're doing it. You sense that. And oddly enough, this is how I feel when I minister to someone who is possibly facing that kind of end-of-life scenario. When I'm in that spot, and when I'm talking to folks in that way, and it's a hard conversation to have with people, but yet a really important one to have with people. A hospice chaplain, which is what I'm heading towards, is there to ask good questions, to listen, and to support. I like that. I'm very comfortable with that. It's more of a focused kind of ministry. It's doing a few things well each day over and over again. Pastoral ministry, being a senior pastor, being a pastor on the other hand, for me, it has oftentimes felt like juggling flaming swords while driving a school bus, while writing a sermon on the importance of living a quiet spiritual life, right? Like trying to do all those things at once. And honestly, like, God bless Debbie, who is in our office, because she actually manages a lot of that chaos every day. She does it. And there have been days where I literally stick my head in her office and I just say, hey, what's on fire today, right? Like, what's going on? Do we have water leaking onto our piano? You know, what's the case? And Debbie generally has the metaphorical fire extinguisher in hand, and she's taken care of a lot of those things. She's great in that way. So I would say that as I stand here before you all today, my desire is to do good in a more focused way. In a more focused way. To be able to minister people directly and to their families as they face a crisis that, I mean, we're all going to have to face. Someday we're all going to face this end-of-life crisis, and I think a lot of you know it doesn't have to be a crisis. Death can be a precious gift. That's the point of Carla's song that she sang for us, you know, that it is, in fact, a precious gift. Another factor in our decision, that was a good portion of it. Another factor in our decision was where we were able to choose to be, to choose to minister, that Overland Park, Kansas area where we're moving. It just happens to be about 20 minutes from our daughter. Not that that had anything to do with it, but 20 minutes from our daughter, 30 minutes from, less than 30 minutes from Kim's mom and her sister and her aunt and her uncle all live in that area, 20 to 30 minutes. My two brothers live right there. My youngest brother's right on the other side of the border of Kansas and Missouri. Less than an hour from my mom and my dad, who live in St. Joseph, and so to be able to get to them quickly. And then 20 minutes away from my childhood best friend, who I'm still in connection with all the time. So those are some of the good things. The bad thing is that area is also home to some of the worst drivers in all of the United States, simply known as Johnson County drivers. So please pray for me. In Kansas City, Missouri, when I was close to there, we talked about Johnson County drivers as people that probably didn't even have souls. So the way that they take around. So I'll get to be a light in the darkness in my vehicle with my Missouri tags for a little while until they make me switch those things over. So this has been very, very hard decision for us. Stepping into a new season, and I hope you've heard that word a lot today, that kind of the new seasons. I've been in ministry with the United Methodist Church for the last 29 years, actually just last month. Last month, 29 years ago, I started as a youth director at Ashland United Methodist Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. I was there for 8 years. I was at seminary for a year and a half, and I spent 20 years as a United Methodist pastor in a bunch of different capacities. And just like the passage says, just like what we read in Ecclesiastes, there's been a lot of great things in there that I've been a part of, that I'm very, very proud of. And there have been some painful things in there too that have been very hard for us as a family and for me, that sometimes linger in different ways. And so our family, we look forward to having some time to reflect on all of it, our last 30 years, like we've, as long as we've been a family, we've been a Methodist pastor family. So being able to reflect on that and then to find new ways as a family to do good and to be happy as a result of that good that we are going to do. And so do you all. So do you all. Each of you individually, you have the same opportunity with your life. But this church has an opportunity as well. Pastoral transition is always a time and an opportunity to reflect. I've tried to do my best in my time here to work with this church, to help this church determine who it wants to be and what it wants to do as a result of who you all are. We all know this is not the same church it was 20 years ago. Most churches in the United States are not the same church they were 20 years ago. That's the state of things. But I would challenge you, do not underestimate who she is today and who our church is today. Those questions are a little early. Those can come off. Those are later. Thank you. Do not underestimate her impact in our community today and what she is doing right now within Lebanon. Do not underestimate the friendships that she has to provide to her neighbors today, the need for that friendship in our community. And do not underestimate her unique spiritual message in this present age. Do not underestimate the importance of that. And I'd let Marcia come up here and speak more to that, but you know, she could do it. because it is an important message that we have to share. But this church, she has some decisions that she has to continue to make. Because there are a whole lot of good things that this church can keep doing. In the same way that perhaps many of you have depended on me to and Pastor Marcia to provide spiritual support to you and to your families, this community has learned to depend upon you and on this church. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, it is a hard deal to let people down that you care about and to make some new decisions. It's really hard to move on from some things that are still good but may no longer bring you the joy that they once did, because they're just new seasons. And as churches and as people, we change. You know, a church as old as this one, as established as this one, has to keep having this kind of conversation, this hard conversation. It's not always a pleasant conversation, but it's always a necessary conversation. And really, it's always about stewardship and doing good stewardship. Stewardship of finances, of gifts, of energy, of abilities, of maximizing impact with what you have in pursuit of the kingdom of God and making disciples. And that was the exact, this whole stewardship thing, this was exactly the conversation I had to have with myself, that Kim and I, that we had to have in order to start making some really hard decisions for us as a family. And so I would say that same kind of conversation needs to continue to happen here, as I know it has throughout the years. There's a whole lot of good that can be done. And it feels so good. It feels so good to do so much for so many people in so many different organizations. And I would invite you during this season to pause and as a church to look in the mirror and to be very proud of what you see in that mirror. And to be very proud of the reflection. Because friends, you all have survived so much. You have survived so much. You survived a pandemic. A lot of churches did not survive the pandemic. You survived a denominational schism. And probably the first one the United Methodist Church, since it's been the United Methodist Church, has seen. And some churches didn't, but you did. You have survived that. You survived a polarized election cycle, I would say three times. I would say the last three of them have been very polarizing for our country. And yet here you are. And you have survived all of these goofy Methodist pastors who act like they're speed dating at a bar on a Friday night, right? Like you've had to overcome some challenges there, and you've done it. You have survived much. And so please do not underestimate the power that is at work in this church and in this church right now. And do not underestimate the importance of reevaluating the stewardship of this church in every new season together, right? And so here's four questions. I'll leave you with these questions now to kind of think about in this new season for you all. And the questions are these: who are we in God? Who are we called to serve as a result of who we are in God? What are we called to do as a result of who we are called to serve? And last, what must we stop doing now in order to best steward all that God has given us as a result of who we are to serve? Those are hard questions to work through. And I feel like in the last year and a half, we've spent quite a bit of time trying to answer those questions. And they're questions that continue to guide us. Now, here's the good news. These questions, they don't have to change your zip code, right? They're going to change my zip code, but they don't have to change your zip code. But it may change how people in this community, how they look at you. And it may change how they look at this church. It might change how people treat you and how they relate to you when you stop doing some things and decide to do other things that are more important in this new season. But when you figure out what the good is that is specifically yours to do, and this church is to do, there's a joy waiting for you on the other side of those hard decisions that we all have to make. Or at least I feel like I've read that somewhere in a book that maybe we're familiar with at the beginning of our time together in the passage that was read to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the season that I have had with this church, for the relationships that I have built, for all the good things that we have been able to do together. I give you thanks for all of those things and for your constant direction, Holy Spirit, for your voice in our lives and for the ways that you strengthen us in hard seasons. In the way that you direct us into new seasons, new life-giving seasons. And so that is my prayer for First United Methodist Church, that you would continue to be with her and to guide her in years to come. Give you thanks for all these people and for all these leaders here. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.